This is TWiT.
So yesterday on the show, Jason and I talked a little bit about Sarah. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's a new anonymous social media messaging app that's intended to enhance your areas of personal strength. I mentioned that I'd seen various journalists trying out this tool designed for constructive criticism, and one of those journalists was Micah Sargent, who is here today to tell us what he thinks of Sarah Ha and find out whether Dr. Dow thinks there's anything at all positive about this tool. Welcome back to the show, Micah.
Thanks for having me back. I'm happy to be here. And yeah, I'm so glad that Dr. Dow is here with us to help me through all of my issues with this app. We'll come across those.
So is it just a website or it's actually an app too?
Yeah, so it's an app. It's a website as well. I think they kind of push you to the app. Like, that's where they really want you kind of communicating, because they've got an official app in the App Store for both Android and for iOS. And whenever you kind of go to the About Us page and kind of learn a little bit about it, it's like, yeah, check out our official apps, but be careful because there are some who are trying to copy the app. And, you know, you could end up sharing some information on there that you don't want to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell us a little bit about what it is.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a way for you to get anonymous feedback. And they kind of are pushing it. It seems like a way for employees to kind of like talk to their bosses or to hear feedback from your coworkers and in cases like with your friends. But it's really turned into more of a social media kind of deal where we've got a lot of people just using it to hear from their friends and kind of get compliments and get critiques and things like that. Whereas I really think they were sort of trying to push it as a tool in business. It doesn't seem to be being used in that way. So you can find someone's profile. So in my case, just like my name, Sarah.com, and leave a constructive message. It says, I thought you could change that phrase there, but you can't. So you just type in whatever you want, you hit send, and then I get a push notification on my phone. And then I can, you know, go into the app and see it. Now, this is kind of where I think it is a bit odd, because whenever you get a bit of feedback, you can read it right there in the app, and you can like it, and you can delete it, and you can flag it for like abuse. And that's pretty much it in terms of what you can do in the app. There aren't any replies right now. And Sarah, the app says that maybe they'll eventually introduce replies if people have accounts and they use their account to kind of leave questions for other people. But the whole thing is the way that it's kind of spreading across social media is you can actually export an image, like a square image that has the question in the middle and it's styled up to look like a big question mark box. And so you can have the text in the middle. And so your goal, I guess, if you get questions, if you get feedback, if you decide you want to share it, then you just share that image and then put your reply above it. And that's kind of how it's kind of spreading across Facebook and Twitter, especially.
So first thoughts, Georgia?
So one, Micah, did you get my messages?
Oh, yeah. All of those that were like, man, I really can't stand you. I'm just getting sick of having to hear you all the time. Yeah.
Those were my messages. You're absolutely right. That was what it is. I can't wait till I don't get your reply to my messages. There's so many problems with this. Okay. So first, I love that it says, please leave constructive feedback, because that will change everyone that wants to be abusive and mean to their bosses. They're like, oh, I was going to send something really mean to Micah, but then I didn't. Or maybe I did. Because it's anonymous. So whenever you deal with an anonymity and instant feedback, and this, you don't even have to worry about any repercussions because the person on the other end cannot reply back. So to my hangman game, which I sent you, Micah, I will never know if you were able to figure out what that four-letter word that ended with a T was. I'm sad.
Wait, so you really did send me a message?
I sent you two.
Oh, that's incredible.
He doesn't even read. That's a secret. That's a secret. It's like reading the comments. He doesn't read any of them.
The comments.
This is honestly like, this is something that I wanted to talk about, especially like I said, with Dr. Dow, is the fact that I felt kind of weird about this whenever I first came across this app, because I have to say, you know, there's been a lot of stuff going on this past week, and, you know, we don't have to bring it up, but some stuff with abuse and harassment and things like that in public places, in employment. And I did feel like the fact that I was curious and okay, I felt okay and safe enough to go sign up for this app and say, hey, leave me some anonymous feedback. I sort of felt like I was coming from a place of privilege there, where I can imagine that some people wouldn't even want to be anywhere near this app, near this service, because of the fact that it opens them up to the potential for abuse. And so I have gotten, you know, and I genuinely don't mean this as a brag, but I've gotten really lovely messages from people. And I haven't really shared those on, you know, social sites to respond to them or to say thank you or anything like that, because it just feels a little odd. It almost does feel like, not bragging per se, but I just feel like it's unfair maybe to some people who in this case would be opened up to abuse. And Georgia, I think that you touched on that really well with the fact that there aren't repercussions, because this genuinely is an anonymous app. I can go on right now to anybody's Sarah account and leave something, and they wouldn't know that it was coming from me unless I was very particular about the words that I chose to use and maybe including some inside jokes or something like that.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people that may use this application may care more about what other people think, or they might be in very psychological difficult spots during their life, and so they're going on to this application, which it hurts us. To hear mean, cruel, vicious things is really damaging to our psyche, and there's no repercussions. You can't reply back to say, well, why did you think that? What happened? So, and the other person, if it is abusive, there's really nothing bad that's going to happen to them. And so it could be very psychologically damaging to that and dangerous. And I think that part of it is that high, like it's kind of exciting and dangerous, kind of like a chat roulette. You don't know what you're going to get. And in that way, it feels kind of interesting and fun, and you kind of want to go there. But if you are hurt by this, if someone says something that really hits that soft spot for you, it's too late. You can't undo that. And it was interesting because when I was messaging you, Micah, I was like, ooh, I had this little evil glee of like, oh, he's not going to know. What am I going to send him? You know? And so it's something that you don't know what other people's hurts and pains are with that. And so you have to be careful of what is already someone comfortable versus what is not, because often people don't talk about if I'm having a really difficult time, or, you know, my wife's just left me, I just lost my job. And then they get one more message, and that could be that last drop in the bucket before everything overflows. And so all of these anonymous apps that seem like, you know, they're trying to come from a good place, you know, leave some constructive criticism. When you're really angry at your boss, it's probably not going to be, you know, constructive, right?
Right. Megan, I have to ask, I mean, you have taught me about social networks. I remember you taught me all about Snapchat with streaks. Uh-huh. And so I'm just curious, like, what's your take on this app here? Is this something that you'd see, like, do you like this app? You think it's ridiculous? I'm just curious to hear.
Well, if in terms of kids, I mean, I don't see what the difference between this and Ask FM, which I don't know if you've heard about this, but it's basically the same. It's very similar. You know, it's just like, hey, you know, ask me anything, tell me anything. And it's completely anonymous. And it has been used for bullying pretty much since day one. And, you know, it is very popular among teenagers. And, you know, it is a need of teenagers to what do people think of me? I want to know. I want to know. And then all of this is also, you know, it's there forever. Like, you could look up like someone's Ask FM and see what people say about them. And, you know, it may be true. It's probably not true. And it's there on the internet, you know, in perpetuity. So in that sense, I don't really like it. But you said that it was designed for a workplace, and then I can see its use. I mean, it reminds me of those 360 reviews that people do, like mostly executives. Like, I've definitely heard of that as like part of executive coaching. Like, you go in and you have everyone around you. If you are at the top, then it's not really 360, but, you know, everyone give you feedback. If you're an executive and you really want to know, and you have it all be anonymous, and hopefully it is, like, I think that I've heard that's useful for executives to have people really giving them constructive criticism, people that work for them. But I don't, this is just released to everyone. So of course, teenagers are going to probably use it.
And I think it's odd because this, This in and of itself, you know, I hate to be the person who's talking about like modern art and saying I could make that. But this in and of itself is sort of something that anyone could go out and create, especially the fact that there isn't any sort of built-in reply feature. It really is just like an anonymous Dropbox, you know, so you could make an email, an anonymous email, and send somebody an email, and it would work the same way as this does. The only thing that kind of sets this service apart, and I think is, again, what's making it spread, is the fact that you can hit that little share button, and it pops out that little square image that you can then post to other sites. And because this, I think this was it was either a clever thing or it was a bit of luck, because you can't reply directly on the site, and that's what's got people sharing it onto Twitter and onto Facebook and other social media networks. So that was pretty clever because it's not built into its own little thing. It goes out and people see in the corner, I think it's like in the bottom left corner, it says the name of the site. People get curious, they go there, they make their own, and then it spreads. So it's kind of latching on to social media sites that are already big, already have lots of users, instead of sort of building out its own little area. And by doing that, I think that it's spread pretty far. So it'll be interesting, you know, A, if this sticks around, but B, if it ends up making its own little reply feature. And I do have to say, Georgia, I just refreshed all of my messages here, and I think you may have sent some other Mike a hangman message, because I don't see any messages from you, unless you asked, if you mix Chihuahua and coffee, what do you get?
Because I might have sent that. I might have sent that. It's a question I just really want to know. So I was hoping for that, and then I might have sent another one, but maybe it didn't go through because I'd already sent the other one. I'm not sure. I got a little excited to it. I want to ask, Micah, how does it feel when you open up the application and you don't know what you're going to get?
I'm going to be honest with you. This is like a bit of thrill, a bit of like the good kind of fear, like roller coaster fear and haunted house fear and scary movie fear. I see the message pop up and I'm like, ooh, you just get that little jolt of like, this could be bad, which I realize that's kind of to open yourself up to potentially experiencing something that's painful. Doesn't quite make sense, but at the same time, you know, I was too curious and too interested to see what would happen that I decided to give this a shot anyway. And I genuinely wanted to know how it worked and what it was that was kind of the catch that had people so interested in it. But yeah, I mean, getting that buzz and then seeing, okay, there's a message in there. I wonder what it's going to say. And so far they've been, you know, pretty funny things that I've been able to reply to. And someone asked me like, what's my favorite song to dance to? That is not an easy question for me to answer. So that was actually a lot of fun where I spent,
it's not,
you know,
the Golden
10
Girls?
Minutes like, It's not the Golden Girls, although, you know, that one's always kind of playing internally.
That is the same thing. I hear you. So Megan, does this make you want to go out and sign up?
No, no, not at all. I don't know. I don't have that in me. Like I feel like I can, I've heard enough on Twitter of what people think of me, don't have my best interests at heart. I think, you know, I've gotten constructive criticism, which was helpful, and lots of unconstructive criticism. But I guess, Micah, I mean, my question, you said you got mostly positive. Is that what you hear on Twitter? Like, I mean, because some people just don't really, and I have to say, like, it was bad a couple of years ago, but I don't see a lot anymore of really negative stuff on Twitter.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering, yeah, is that similar to what you hear on Twitter, or do you get people that aren't as constructive on Twitter?
Okay. So I will say that for the most part, yeah, the only time that I hear from people on Twitter, like day to day, are people who are listeners of podcasts that I do or read the work that I write and then have questions or just want to offer some nice messages or what have you. However, occasionally, some of the things that I tweet are a little more opinionated or are about something that ends up sort of taken off and getting spread into different types of different areas of Twitter. An example of that is when I asked the different smart speakers with the different built-in assistants, the different smart assistants, if they were feminists. And I shared a video that showed how each of them responded. So it was the Google Assistant responding, it was Alexa responding, and it was Siri responding, and how each of those responded to that question. Well, that got retweeted to oblivion, And I got some pretty, you know, not nice things said in public, you know, in replies, and then also in messages, in direct messages and things like that. Because, again, from a place of privilege, I do have my direct messages open because I've not experienced a bunch of abuse that would want me to, you know, have those closed. And so, yeah, it occasionally crops up, but for the most part, no. I think, as George is saying, the more opportunity that people have to be anonymous, the more likely you are to experience some sort of abuse. And I'll be honest too, like I used to work at a job where I was on camera every single day as an anchor for news. And I got a lot more creepy and scary and mean messages then than I ever have now, sort of a little bit more faceless, which is odd because usually when people can connect a person to their humanity, they're less likely to be horrible to them. And now without a face so much, you would think that there'd be less human connection there. But maybe Georgia can better explain that.
Well, it kind of depends, right? It kind of depends on, like, sometimes you reach a level of everyone knowing you that you no longer become human. It becomes you're this archetype and not even real. And that's why you end up with certain celebrities that take a lot of hate and abuse all the time because it's just the in joke and you want to be part of the joke to hurt this person. You don't really think about the effects of what that will be. And sometimes before, like similar to you, Megan, I had more abuse when I first started going onto YouTube and making videos and being new at it when I actually needed the most constructive criticism was often the most difficult. And then after a while with time, it's kind of died off.
Well, in terms of podcasts versus more visual mediums, you know, audio podcasts, I do think that there's an intimacy there. Like, podcasters are in our ears. And so I think we feel more comfortable with them and make that connection in that way.
But that's a good point.
But I'm wondering, Georgia, if I may draw this conclusion or, you know, a conjecture. What Mike is basically saying is that, you know, when he just said, hey, talk about me. He got really good feedback, but when he expressed an opinion that someone had a different opinion, that's when he often gets attacked. So can we draw from that people really don't want to attack other people? They want to attack when their opinions, when they have a different opinion than someone.
Yeah, it hurts. It hurts. If someone has if you hold a very strong opinion of whatever that might be, and then someone else gives you a differing opinion or even offers a different way to look at this, we end up going through that cognitive dissonance. We want to protect our belief system. And that's the way that we kind of the sales that tell us which way we're going to go in life. So if someone offers something that, you know what, you may be wrong about this, you feel a physical pain. If you're, you know, into eating, you know, all different types of meats and you meet someone that's vegan, not even just vegetarian, but vegan, you may be very upset that someone else would do this because in a way, their way of life is saying to you that you're wrong. And that hurts and you feel like an issue in your own ego strength. And that's why that if you kind of just come out and like, hi, and you don't give any opinions to anything, the chances that, or if your opinions are very vanilla or mid round of the, like, you know, kind of in the middle, people aren't going to be very highly reactive and get upset. You offer an opinion that is highly different than the norm. That's when you're going to have people not just angry, but viscerally angry, almost like you've attacked their belief system. And then you're going to have a lot of really hateful beliefs. And so it really depends on who you are as a person. And so, you know, I don't have many very polarizing opinions, and so I don't get a lot of hate. But if I said something like, you know, cats are not good for the earth or something like that, then maybe cat lovers would come at me, and I would have a lot of, you know, pro-cat hate. And so you really do have to take a look at what you say, and that's why it's so difficult right now in our society to be able to have open discourse about different things, because maybe cats aren't good for the earth, but no one's going to talk about that because they get all of that hatred. And so we don't look at things because we feel threatened ourselves when we see something that is different from the way that we have a belief system. I actually like cats. I'm just going to say that before everyone sends me hateful messages. Now, Micah, I'm not so sure, but I like cats. There we go.
I plead the fifth on that one. I have to be careful because you're right. The pro-catters out there will come at me. I was just going to say, like, you know, Georgia and I are polar opposites. You know, we argue all the time. There's visceral anger between the two of us.
That's true.
Other than that, though, I can get along with people.
Well, and it should be said that, like, you didn't even, I have seen you express your opinions on Twitter, but what you said was that you just used the word feminist in an example in a story. So that's how far we've gotten. Like, just even using that word does make some people feel threatened.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I did the same thing. I did it again during Pride Month. I asked or I said to the different assistants, "Happy Pride Month," just to see how they would respond. This is what I did. Here's what the video shows. How each of them responded, and there was also, of course, some blowback on that one as well, because you can't. There are certain things that you can't say without. Attacking the belief system of others, as Georgia puts it. So.
Yeah, which is so sad, because we're like on this planet together. We're trying to get to a place where we're all as one. Someone with a differing opinion of you does not actually affect your own way of life. It used to be really important when we lived in large groups that everyone felt similarly towards things, because you were going to be fighting other tribes. And so it became really important that we all had the same kind of ecosphere. The same thing that happens with companies like Apple and Google, they want to make sure that they have diversity, but it's diversity that is all kind of in the same idea of which way we're going to go forward to that. And that kind of colludes and keeps everyone together, but it also doesn't allow for differing viewpoints. And you can end up in a little bit of an echo chamber. So it's kind of sad that we've hit this because of Twitter and other social media. We've become a much more reactive society. Someone says something and they offend someone, like really within hours, that could be the end of your life, your job, everyone's around you and they look at you as a horrible person. And think about how many times you might have said something offhandedly without really thinking about it. And if that was blown out of proportion, what would happen to you?